you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? How long have you had your white teacher? Woman friend, and share with black folks not of kin. People must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation,
would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday, if you'll only listen to what I have to say.
And how long have you had your white teacher?
Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? I say now people must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation, would make a better society.
And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? If you had a choice of colors.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. A lovely day out here, as usual. I know it's repetitive. Every Sunday morning you hear me say, it's a beautiful day. It really is. And we're all fortunate to just be living here and just to be alive, I guess, with all of the issues and all of those things. And a couple of my friends are under the weather there. And I was sent out a get well, get good, and stay hopeful to Betty Furr there in New York, who's listening right now over the Internet. And as you, too, can listen over the Internet, go to carolcox.com and stream live, maybe a two-second delay, and or go to kwai1080am.com and listen to us live there. And you can go back and listen to all of the shows at podcast, carolcox.com. And if you have a good tip, a news tip, or know someone fraudulently ripping us off, give me a call. Send me an email. We don't get between neighbors now, and lately I've been getting a flurry of neighborly spats, and that's not what we're about. We're looking to see how the system itself, the institution called government, failed the people. And while I know that spats between neighbors can be volatile and what have you, we may be able to help you in guiding you to the right places, and we don't give legal advice. So many of you out there are having a few problems there, and got a little something in my throat there for a minute. Pardon me. Been up there on the Big Island doing some helicopter flights in a little cold weather there and taking some pictures, so got in a little chill. Anyway, many things are going on out here, and I just have to say, call in 524-1080, and I'm primarily looking for that silent Republican, the one that was very vociferous and, you know, had a voice bigger than that of the bulldog that you see on the old stereophonic commercial, RCA Victor, whoever it was, where you said you were taking back the country. You should have been honest with us and let us in on the secret, too. You knew that the Russians had taken over, and you just didn't have the guts to tell us or didn't care for America to tell us. So I was wondering, why were you so entrenched with the thought that Obama was bad and that we had to take our country back? You were telling a half-truth, because the reality is, either we have a gullible group of people within the Republican Party, and some of those Democrats or liberals or independents that thought that Obama was bad and we need to take our country back. Again, you should have let us in on the secret, too, the other half of the story. You knew that the Russians had taken over. You could not have known, because you say that you're smart, you're intelligent. You know that, and we're going to take you for your word, that America had been taken over by this black guy who calls himself Obama, who wasn't born in America, and we had to take the country back. And I just wish that some of you out there that talked up a storm and led us down a path that America, we had lost America and all, and you knew that the Russians had taken it, and you didn't care. And you did it because you loved America. That's why you were talking so loud and chattering about it, because America had been taken away. And now we see who took it away. And where are you now? There is absolutely no way any true-blooded American, I'm sorry, any American that hold this country dear in their heart and respect it would not be standing on the top of each cliff, each high-rise, each building, each government office, demanding that an immediate action be taken. Because if, in fact, the Russians took it, as you know they did, because you wouldn't want to have to go out there and tell people you need to take it back, because you knew something. What about the love of our country, a place called America? Where is that love? Were you so entrenched and hurt and pain that a black man said in the office that you just didn't care who took it as long as he didn't take it? Is that it? I don't know. I'm just asking. 524-1080 is the number, but I really would love to hear from you, because, you know, we got into the black lives don't matter, and the black lives do matter, and the blue lives matter, and apparently American life, the life of America, does not matter. Because we don't see your actions don't match your words that were spoken weeks and months ago, leading up to this debacle. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment.
Hey, Carol.
Hey, what's happening?
Fine. You're doing neuro-linguistic programming and predictive programming by passing on the topics of the day and the banterings of the media back and forth, a point by point, cut by 1,000 slices. What's really going on here? There's a larger principle. America is an arm of a bigger octopus. The originally they were celebrated rebels. and then America arose, and now it's in decline like the Roman Empire. It's just a function of the globalists, the ancient power control and money system, the elite. America's just a petri dish for them to advance their fortunes based on using us as labor, slaves. Birth certificates are actually stock on the Wall Street Stock Exchange. And let me give you some references to go back and look this up. Go to Merovingian Bloodline Obama on Google. Merovingian Bloodline Obama. Mm-hmm. Also go to DESPONSYI Desponzi Bloodline Jesus. And then do Donald Trump Bloodline on Google. And you'll see that these elites of the world, from ancient pagan times to current blood banking times, have used human sacrifice and blood as a form of, like, the fountain of youth. We get transfusions in the hospital for sick patients just to bring them back to life. What they call that Satanism and Pizzagate and all that stuff is people like the Rockefeller, David Rockefeller, that died, that had 10 heart transplants on demand. Where'd they get the hearts from? Did they steal them? Did they buy them out on the open market or whatever? But you've got this big, big, ancient, long-time conspiracy of priesthoods and governments and royalty that are just vampiric in the way that they consume and absorb resources, and they hide it under their puppets. It's Obama this, it's Trump that. Trump's a close cousin to Hillary. Obama goes back to Egypt. If you look into these Google searches, you'll get a start to see maybe where it came from, where it's at, where it's forward. Of course, there's fake news. There's biased news.
Well, hold on now. My listeners are going, what the hell is he talking about here? I mean, I understand. Let's fragment this a bit. You know, speak in portions that a simple guy like me can understand it. Well, first of all, let's go back to I got lost in the run-ons that you presented, but for example, America is a beautiful place. It's a country. Now, yeah, you may see it as a place where there's conspiracies and people sucking your blood or willing to suck your blood at night when you go to bed and change that and feed it to monkeys or whatever. I don't know. I haven't experienced that. Haven't had any cause to think in those terms.
Yeah, I do a lot of research, Carol.
Well, yeah, I understand, but I can do research, too.
Globalism and big bankers.
I understand, but sometimes you have to take things for granted.
And
I understand all of that, but
Bill Gates.
But to preserve
Zuckerberg.
America. Well, hold on now. Now you're being a little rude here.
Sorry.
Okay, so you go out and buy groceries.
Yeah.
Okay, and then once you purchase those groceries, you'll never go out again. But as you see them dwindle, you go back out and shop for more and replenish. Right. That's like America. Everything isn't perfect. Things go broken. We fix them, but I'm damn sure not a victim of the conspiracy and a slave of this. No.
Thomas Jefferson was the real reflection of what the true America idea could have been.
Thomas Jefferson was a man who liked little girls and had sex with them, and was a person who wrote law for the country and helped write various legislation and what have you.
There you go. That's
so,
the satanic bloodline.
So, yeah, but see,
the Freemasons, that's the power and control.
Well, with Freemasons, okay, power and control, but you could also walk away from all of that and simply say that was his intent. Even what he wrote and contributed to don't mean that it's written in stone. The Constitution has certain elements, right, that protect us and guide us. But every day we see a new life. We see something new. Things change. But this notion that there's this grand old conspiracy with the Rockefellers having 10 hearts and, you know, I mean, it sounds like
not
a remake. Sounds
like 10 hearts. Where'd he buy them from? They're not at Walmart.
Sounds like a remake of the Wizard of Oz or something. And I'm not a fan of the Wizard of Oz. I've watched it both in black and white and color, and I think it's just entertainment. But taking it beyond that is not my interest.
Well, why there's so much confusion and why there's so much pointing fingers and all this, all these points, is to obscure the larger principle that there's an elite people that understand technology, all the way back to paganism, how to use the body and its parts, all the way up to modern science.
Okay, so maybe you might call it a conspiracy and someone sat down and contrived this with intent, but for
Absolutely. Hold on.
So you have Donald Trump is in the White House now, right?
And he's part of the royal bloodline.
Hold on. I don't need you to editorialize as I speak. I'll let you speak. So what happens then, Donald Trump is a fan, can't bring himself to say one bad word about Russia or Putin, correct? We noticed that. So we now learn that the Russian government is either participating or contributing to the Taliban. And yet he can't bring himself, and he then pride himself in respecting the American soldier, I mean Donald Trump. And so Russia, who he can't bring himself to say anything bad about, is cohorting with the Taliban, as been reported. And so the Taliban is going to kill our soldiers that Donald Trump loves so dear, but he can't say anything to Vladimir. That's not a conspiracy. That's just people abusing the rights of other people and lying to them. That's nothing to do with historical. These are just two men that have gotten themselves, woven themselves a web to have influence.
Let's go up to the number of U.S. soldiers that are committing suicide daily and how they're being abused in the hospitals. Again, this is all money-making for the very, very, very top wealthy.
But that's why we speak out about that and try to come to their aid and be sincere about when we speak and not bite our tongues, and when we see our legislators not doing anything and saying to them, damn it, you need to do something. These soldiers fight and protect this country and give their lives and what have you. And not just the soldiers, the wives of these families, of these men, and the families of these soldiers who go abroad and serve this country, and then we have a guy in the White House who sits there and talks nonsense, but he can't bring himself to say to one of our, I call it an arch enemy. And yet, so these are simple observations, and I do apologize. I pride myself in being simple rather than being eccentric with so many thoughts in my head that I can't manage them.
Well, you can't be simple when you banter around points. You got to get to the high-level principles that are involved.
Now, you also got to start at the first step in the ladder to get to the top of the ladder, right?
And on the foundation that the ladder sits on is this globalism, international elite families.
And there are some of us that will set a ladder up and to go up and never understand the foundation of it and never concern ourselves, and then those people tend to fall flat on their face. Right?
Now, I don't know if these Merovingian bloodlines and this Dispadanzi bloodlines are Eurocentric, white people kind things, but I believe... if you look at it hard enough, you'll see how it goes all the way back to Sumer, all the way back to ancient history, all the way back to the priest class, royal class, state class. People are basically slaves.
Well, you know, I can't say that I can argue with you on any of this, but I agree to some degree that there are symbols and emblems and various signs that you take the fish, for example, how it was used in the secret society to identify, because certain people would be assaulted or killed or attacked or what have you if we knew that they were in the secret society.
So you know the Pope's hat's a symbol of a fish.
Well, all of that. But, you know, I'm aware that there are secret societies and cults and things that meet in the national parks and the outback country. And I know that as a... some of their techniques is to get you, how to steer you there and give you directions, is that if they put signs along the road and the arrow says turn left here, but if you're a member of that cult, you know to turn right.
So yeah. we're aware of all of that. So it's not, that's not nothing new. But what's simple is what's at our doorsteps today, and that is the country that I love, the country that I am part of, called America.
As individuals, we're going to have to take some kind of responsibility to bring about some kind of justice, fairness, equality. Now, we're not all equal, but we all can be trained to be prosperous somehow by doing good things.
Yeah, so it's to our benefit, you and me, to sometimes, if we're at the bus stop, and maybe it's good to just talk about the bus route and the efficiency and the effectiveness of it, rather than to talk about the bus that leads us to the cliff that where we falls off and then start to theorize that it was a conspiracy. Maybe it was just bad brakes.
Yeah, maybe gratitude to go viral instead of what seems like a lie will get around the world before the truth can get its shoes on.
So this notion, taking back America, what's your thought about that? I'm very serious about
taking
this.
Taking back America?
You know, that was that mantra that we got to take back America. Give me your thoughts on that.
We got to get off the being a rebel cause. We got to get into the being whatever the opposite of a rebel is, co-cooperators, and bringing about a way to educate our children to be able to be prosperous and bring on a renewable and sustainable environment. What I really wanted to call about, though, is Christopher Didi and the dog shooting.
Okay.
And you're a federal agent, so you know rules of engagement and when to pull your gun or whatever. I learned at a McDonald's on Kalakaua, I guess that's what it is, that this one guy, security guard, knew the officer that shot the pit bull. He was a fired former federal official.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what his rules of engagement was, but an angry dog, pit bull, does seem like a bullet comes his way. Now, was Christopher Didi, in effect, dealing with a pit bull person and pulled his gun and shot him? I wouldn't mind if you could clarify for us. The Christopher Didi shooting is a federal agent. The dog shooting is a fired former federal agent in Securitas clothing. And what your instructions were as a weapons carrier for the federal government, were your rules of engagement?
Okay, so let me first by saying, and you'll be disappointing in this answer. I you lost me when you said this human being behaved like a pit bull dog, or was a type of pit bull dog. You lost me there. That conversation. And
that was a metaphor to try to draw. Why did Chris have to shoot?
No. It's not a metaphor.
And why was that the other fired federal guard so quick to shoot a pit bull?
Well, again, each shooting is gauged on the circumstances, first of all, when they do an investigation, justified or unjustified. That's why we have court systems, and I would hate like hell to sit here and impugn any one of those people, especially by starting off and saying, suggesting or even thinking that this person was the deceased, was equate him or her to a dog.
Pit bull behavior. All right, so he was a pit human.
Argumentative. Okay, but what?
Carrying the chip of his shoulder that his iwinines were stolen.
He
was talking to a Howley.
Had you met him?
Howley just shot him because he needed to save himself.
You're speaking ahead of me now. For what reason? Did you meet Christopher Didi? Or that officer?
All I get to go by is on the press.
Okay.
And who knows who's telling the truth?
Did you meet the deceased, the gentleman that was elder? Did you meet him?
All I can do is try to rely on the reliability and honesty of the press.
See,
it seems to be more insightful rather than reassuring and educating.
See, this is where why I share with you. You know, we've talked many occasions, and I'm always reluctant to talk about things and conspiracy theories because it lends itself to this kind of conversation. And what I would say, I wasn't there. I went down and photographed and see the bullet sprayed over in the ceiling and talked to some of the people there, the clerks that were there, and I took photographs and all of that. And I still would say the information that I have and the observations that I made, I would leave it up to the courts. And there are many things, you know. Was he drinking? Now, some federal agencies have policies that you do not shoot to wound.
You shoot to kill.
Center mass?
Whatever. If you can shoot him in his finger and kill him, they do not encourage shoot to wound. And no warning shots. You know, those are policies.
How come you didn't draw your gun when that sheriff kicked you in the butt at that rest stop?
Well, didn't have to.
Okay.
And because I would have been as stupid as he was.
You were coming out of a sleep with a foot up your butt. I think the first thing is you would have been reaching for your gun.
Nah. Yeah. Well, see.
Maybe you'd learn how to use them better.
No. But again, you're running ahead and like a game of Scrabble. Now you ask about Dee Dee and the pit bull person, and this is what.
This is just trying to help create a good conversation.
Oh yeah, I understand.
You're trying to turn it into me making poor implications.
No.
That's
I'm
the problem with media.
No, it's not media. It's about simply if you should be willing to respond or accept. The person, you can't say something and expect them to say what you want them to say or react the way you want them to react.
Of course not.
When they don't.
We're compromising in our conversations to try to get at what could ultimately become self-evident.
But when they don't say what you want, then it becomes a conspiracy, and that's the problem with the media. So you got to pick a line and walk that line and understand that you and I, we were not there. There's a process, a judicial process that is looking at this. There's been two other trials prior to this that he was, found guilty?
Okay. Is that acceptable?
So, what do you mean acceptable? In a civilized society, if this is a process, we must respect the law of the land, We are a nation of laws, and at some point,
has justice been served, or has justice just been served?
Well, you know, has justice been served? There was a trial, right?
Yeah.
And then, so you have to take that up, make another phone call to the court system, and then engage with them and say, I believe you're fraudulently practicing law.
Well, you're close to an expert on the subject of the shooting. What's your bottom line?
Well, my bottom line is that I wasn't there. I don't second-guess people.
Didn't review the videos?
No.
With all your interviews and all your pictures, you can't come to a good conclusion? What kind of reporting is that?
Well, I did come to a good conclusion.
What is that?
But it ain't my business. and that there are better people, better prepared and equipped to make that decision because, you know why? They have access to information, observations, witnesses, and all of that to incorporate into their investigation.
Scapegoating. All right, Carol, thanks for the chat. I'm going to let it go and let somebody else jump in here with you or let you go on with what you think you wanted to present today. But thanks for taking
time. Anytime. Feel free.
And giving our people here some good references and ideas.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Aloha. Yeah, what about the Dee Dee shooting and all? I mean, there's a number of things. You ask yourself, what about my house was bombed and blown up and I was beaten with a pipe upside the head and attempted murder on state land, and the HPD hadn't conducted one interview. So, you know, that's the problem. So, you know, when you ask the Dee Dee in all of this, what was it? The information that is available to the PD. We don't know what they're going to do, how they're going to do it. Maybe it's a friend of them who actually committed the crime. But that's the way things roll here in this state at times, you see. So when it comes to justice, many have suggested that the one person was in that situation was shooting. The shooting was that one was more aggressive than the other. And, well, I wasn't there. I don't know. But I can tell you there are many questions to be answered and many more questions to be asked. And we don't know, but it was submitted to a judicial process and a system, and the system said it couldn't draw any conclusion, basically, as to what, was it a hung jury, what was it? I don't recall the specifics, but I got other things that I do that lend themselves to the actual making things better in the daily lives of people and not the long and protracted court cases, which, how long ago was that anyway, that Christopher Dee Dee shooting? So, other questions have been, was he ever drinking? And if he was drinking, does the government have the responsibility of a deadly mixture?
who knows? I wasn't there. Didn't do a blood test on him. Didn't do a drunken test. And still wouldn't be able to tell you if that was an influence or impact, because maybe he was drinking, but did it influence or trigger him to cause him to pull his gun and shoot? But in saying all of that, again, back to this Donald Trump in the White House bit, and I think that at some point, you know, you look at the congressional behavior and the Senate and all of that, and on both sides of the aisle, it appears that that something is happening here, and that maybe we don't know what all of the Republicans are saying, what we see being played out on the TV or tidbits of news, is that it gives the appearance that, and it may be because this is the way newspapers and TVs cover things, and depending on who wants it to go on TV, but it appears that one side really don't want to do anything. And we're having to ask, well, this is America. You should put your partisan, the politics, aside, because you're saying, and your purpose of existence is to make America strong and keep it strong and keep it viable and all, but yet it gives the appearance that the way some of the news stories are. And then I see some of the news stories, as you watch Fox, they don't do the follow-up questions. They don't ask the questions. They tend to make it give you the outcome as being there's no problem. So we're all stuck in the middle, and we just have to watch it unfold, play out. But like I said last week, here the chief of police is asked to resign, was in fact forced to resign, whether you agree or not agree, because he was being investigated by the FBI. Donald Trump is being investigated, but you heard it from the mouth of the top of the FBI. No one has asked Donald Trump to resign, and Donald Trump has more power in his hands than any man that we know of at this time. And so it's not a mystery. And it's not a big conspiracy. I think, rather than calling it a conspiracy, I think basically it's best described as one of the most shameful days in American history. That we are so educated, and that we have a system there in Utah that stores all of our phone calls, and they're capturing phone calls, and they can tell you if you call from a payphone and know exactly where you were in the towers and all of that. And yet a man can walk into the White House and bring his daughter and plop her down and bring his son-in-law and plop him down. And we say, that would never happen in America because we're a democracy and we vote our leaders. And yet we are watching all of this, and we had a fever pitch of people that were aggressively wanting to remove and struggle to show that Obama was not an American citizen, so therefore he shouldn't be a president. And yet we see Mr. Trump, where the FBI and others have spoken, saying that there seems to be that he colluded, and someone in his administration colluded with the Russians. And is it a conspiracy? You damn right it is. It's a conspiracy. Can we live through it? I don't know. I'm just waiting for the next shoe to fall, when maybe we see the whittling of the laws, and we said that Obama was only managing through, when he left, was managing through the special conditions that allowed for a president to make rules and laws before they, at any time. Well, Donald Trump seemed to have been enjoying that same privilege, but it was very critical of Obama. So, folks, here in America, we know that there's been hypocrisy, there has been lies, and there have been privileged people, and certain people could commit crimes and never serve a day in jail or even be charged. That's a reality. That's American reality. But what can we do
to ensure that we don't fall victim to that kind of practice or that behavior in the future. And I
watch and I see the people in the White House, and I've heard them talk about the interests of the soldiers and all, and their actions does not complement what it is that they claim they care for the soldiers. If you cared for our soldiers and you cared for our military, then you would immediately, if you're innocent or guilty, you would, if you care about America, you would, and I know that you don't talk to someone, to the law enforcement people, unless you have an attorney with you. That's the general consensus or the general thought. But this is a group of people that said America had been taken away, and they were going to, you vote for me and I'm going to get it back, I'm going to build it up, make it better, make it stronger. And we're going to build a wall and keep them out. Who is them? When you're cohorting and you just basically give a key to the castle, to the country, to Putin, and you can't find yourself to say he's a bad player, he's bad, or anything. And I believe that if you cared for America as you sang that song before you were elected, that you would volunteer. And this thing with Flynn. I mean, he's an American general. Still is. He's getting the pay as a retired and was intelligence officer. And what does that say about Donald Trump? He picked the people that he was going to drain the swamp, make America better. He was going to take back America. And then hire a general that lies to us, cohorts with the enemy. He should be willing, and as a general who cares about America, we've cared for him, taken care of him. And I believe, and this is, many of you would probably think this is the dumbest thing and it's contrary to common sense, but if you love America, you would bring this thing to closure by sitting down and telling America, because this is a critical moment in our life, in our existence as a nation. You wouldn't play games. You commit the crime, go do the time. I mean, you did it, and you're talking about you want immunity. And I know that many of you say that, well, you know, you've heard the media say, well, if he hadn't done anything wrong, you still want to guard yourself and protect yourself, and you want immunity. But at some point, this is an American general, and this is a crisis, and we've never seen one like it. For we, a democracy, didn't get to be democratic. And I know, in one sense, it's a six. I didn't want Hillary Clinton as my president. I mean, so one friend told me, he said, well, you know, I didn't want to either, so the Russians did a good thing. Well, no, when I say that that's a democratic process, I'm expressing my thoughts as an individual voter. But I'm not saying that that's a gateway or an invitation to the Russians or the Donald Trumps of the world to sit there and manipulate us as a nation, so that he can get in to do what? That's the bigger thing. I mean, we see that his money, he claims he's multi-billionaire. So what is he benefiting from? Many of his rules are contrary to what America stands for. So what? Now the Russians are there. And Mr. Flynn, rather than talking about being granted immunity, he should simply get busy. And he realized that he knows that there were substantial problems coming for him. So he screams and say that if you tell me, if you allow me, grant me immunity, I will tell you everything. or I will talk to you or tell you everything that I know. How was he privileged to these things?
So was he the smartest guy, or was he manipulated by the Russians? And if he was manipulated, how many others in the ranks of generals and in that process were manipulated? And how many of those people are compromised in our intelligence office today that are working with the Russians and fearful that they're going to be discovered? How many? How many of possibly working as double agents? You know, Petraeus was handing out secrets to one of his hot lovers, or whatever she was, or whatever the relationship was. But that's that group that told us they wanted to take America back from the black man. Kind of a sick reminder of the old days, huh? Good morning, caller. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll try to be a little more simpler. Remember what Rambo said? I wish America loved its people as much as we love it.
Okay.
As far as all this banter about Russian spies this, Russian spies that, every pot's trying to call every other kettle black. Yeah, let's talk to each other and find a way to educate our kids to be prosperous. That's all that's important. All the talking points are all to get people upset, confused, incite the masses to riot, martial law, so the military industrial complex and the funeral industrial complex can continue to make money, and all these one percenters are laughing at us working our asses off for nothing. Yes, there may be this great America, and I wind up on going back to Thomas Jefferson. He thought the federal government was a foreign government in here, and he tried very hard to have the Negroes move back to Libya or somewhere because he didn't feel like they would ever integrate, where on the other hand, he knew somehow that the American Indians would integrate.
Hmm. Wow, that's brilliant, man, brilliant. I don't know where you got that from, but you should package it and sell it.
I get it from listening to people like you on the radio.
Okay, but what was it? Was he going to deport all of the blacks to Nigeria, or just a few to keep Sally and his other little love child?
No, I guess I may be paraphrasing it. So it was a kind of an interesting dichotomy, what was going on there. But he really wanted kind of... And I don't know. I'm not a scholar on this.
You ever been to Monticello?
On a third grade level.
You ever
but
been
he
to?
He did want to. I don't think his goals were as noble as stopping slavery as much as getting people that would not assimilate into the American culture into somewhere else, so they can practice themselves and have their good old times.
Right.
And then they can bring on this banker globalist, Illuminati, Freemason conspiracy through and across America, and it finally wound up here in Hawaii.
Now, let me ask you, with who was going to tend his farms there at Monticello and his properties if he sent all the blacks, as you say, the Negroes, back to wherever they came from or wherever he wanted to? Who was going to do his gardening and keeping his horses and chickens and all of that running and his farm and picking his cotton and whatever?
Well, I'll just say nature abhors the vacuum, and maybe Native American Indians would have fallen right in place and enjoyed doing work from a learned teacher.
Well, yeah, that's why I always draw from reality and history. Well, there weren't no Native Americans that took over. There weren't anybody teachers that found it to be a sexy, appealing job. It was black people that were held in slavery. And it didn't happen. He didn't send anybody back. So when you talk about theories and conspiracies, this is, and then you blame the media, this is where it started with people like you suggesting those kind of, why would you alter reality?
Well, I'm not trying any of the above. I'm just trying to do with a damaged mind.
Oh, okay.
Bring as best I can to the forefront and try to recall it accurately what I hear and share it with you.
Yeah.
So bigger scholars can put it in better perspective and help us and arrive at a point where we probably all would rather be.
Oh, you and I can work this out, because the scholars have had their shot at it, and what do we have? It starts with the working man to understand, because if you look at Donald Trump, he focused on the working man.
Yeah.
You understand? He didn't incorporate. He millionaires and billionaires he incorporated to run the shop.
Yeah.
But he didn't. He focused on the little guy who he promised all of these sky in the pie, results and
yeah.
all of this. Right.
That's called sell the sizzle, not the steak.
Right. So
the sizzle is what you were mentioning.
Yeah.
The steak is the Illuminati, the Freemasons, the 1%. They're up. They're out in your face. They're gonna turn you all into slaves. With the technology from Google, from DARPA, they've now got brain implants that are making paralyzed people able to eat mashed potatoes for the first time because they're getting motor controls from computer implants. That's going to advance in the next 5, 10, or 20 years, turn a larger percent of what they need into slaves that can't be done robotically, where they need human labor.
Mm-hmm.
The 1% going to sit up there in there like Zuckerberg and Kauai in his armored redoubts. Having everything, and somehow this is recurring through millennial.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fact of life.
Yeah,
everybody wants to colonize the world. The Chinese are moving forward with building artificial bases. When are they going to make it out here to Hawaii and take it over?
Well, would you call Hawaii an artificial base? It was overthrown. A queen was overthrown, and a nation was overthrown.
Oh yeah, the DOD is the only people that really are exerting control here, and they're just using this island as an aircraft carrier.
So once again, I mentioned that to show you how we as Americans we tend to see what we want to see, and we then look at the Chinese and the Japanese and other people that are quote our enemy or whatever. As different, but we do the same things and expect the world to reach out and go, oh, you're an American, love you. You know?
Yeah, well, maybe Americans are loved because they'll draw their guns first, and they'll kill first, and they'll take first, and they'll be the finders and keepers with the best weapons and educations, and the losers are weepers, and they either learn to adapt and survive or not. I'm lucky. I'm really screwed up, and I'm being taken care of by the state and the federal government. And still I haven't found my way out of isolation and into society, but I'm working.
But are you being taken care of by the government, or is the will of the people that is being done to care for the other guy, who the less fortunate or the people that are sick?
I'm being taken care of
by human beings, that
hardworking people in a system called America.
Right.
I've held jobs before, so I was able to get SSDI, not just SSI. But I went off the reservation a long time ago. I've been imbalanced a very long time.
Well, but I was. You understand what I'm saying.
And thank you, hard workers, for helping people like me.
Yeah, well, that's called the good of America. You don't leave anybody behind. But that has changed now. That mantra is like the hell with you. If you ain't able to make your own and put a sandwich in your face, then you don't belong here.
No, the real America is the prison industrial complex where slavery lives, because you can get beaten down to death in a jail cell, beaten down to death in a desert work.
No, but that's not because, you know, let's in all fairness, there's the abolitionists. That was the real America, too, a portion of it. There were the freedom fighters. There was a John Browns and all of those people. And then there was a Martin Luther Kings and Fannie Lou Hamers and Ralph Abernathy. And then there was a John Kennedys who had to be convinced. And there's the LBJ who called us niggers, but still he did some things.
Yeah, but you're not special. Everybody's getting called all kinds of things around the world.
Wait, my mama told me I was special. Now, I ain't going to let you take that one away from me.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, woe is me is all around the world. I guess you got to learn to steal the technology of your oppressors and use it against them so you can be free, like the Jews finally got out of Egypt, if those stories are true.
Yeah. Well, I got another call here, but in next hour you're welcome to call back. Okay? Thank you. Caller, thank you for calling. Real quick, we got a minute or two. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, that last caller, he took over the Pokalai Noise show, and he's apparently trying to take over your show.
Oh, he did?
His question was so crazy, I think he should call Rick Amato. Thank you very much.
Well, how are you feeling? I was thinking about you this morning for some reason. Well, call back in the next hour and let us know how you've been up to. And We enjoy hearing from you all, but there comes a time in life that, you know, when you use the words, you know, they say the N-word. We don't talk like that. And you look, well, gee, the world sure is changing, and we, when we openly used the word nigger in the old days and we were referred to as niggers, things were horrible, harsh. We had no homes, and many of us were starving and struggling and sharecropping and all. And today, don't use the N-word, but then there's still this population of people growing. No jobs, no food, incarceration at its highest level, and all of that. So isn't that funny? Many of you get offended by the word, the use of the word, but you don't bother, you're not offended by the climate or the environment that you see being degraded around you. It's kind of a strange situation, and maybe the human mind plays tricks on us all, I guess. We're willing to see something and accept it, but hear something, and we're offended. So I guess that's what they say. Action speaks louder than words. But in this case, words speak louder than action. So we'll be back in the next hour. This is the Carol Cox Show. Thank you for listening. KWAI 1080AM.com is where you can go there and listen to some of the old shows or listen in real time by podcast or by streaming. We'll be right back.
Ain't got the change for a nickel. I don't have no bounce left in my shoes. Don't have no fancy for you to tickle. I ain't got nothing but the blues. Ain't got no coffee that isn't working. Don't have no feelings to brew. I don't have a dream that is working. I ain't got nothing but the blues. Band is swinging, the folks are singing. I just can't get up off the ground. Believe me, Pruitt, ain't nothing to it. Since my baby left this town, ain't got no rest in my slumber. Don't have no winners to lose. I even lost all my telephone numbers. I ain't got nothing but the blues. Low down, dirty blues. Dirty blue.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. And another lovely, lovely day. And we're going to move closer to home here with some interesting activities that goes on, and that we talk about various people doing this or doing that, but I wanted to share with you, we're always talking trash on this show, if you know what I mean, and I have a little bit of more trash to talk today in the second hour. So, you know, the mayor, Mayor Caldwell, I mean, you can't miss him. He's the luckiest guy on the planet. I mean, most people at some point would have been investigated and put in jail. But it's okay, though. I guess that's the climate here in Hawaii. You do, and as long as you do for the people with money and what have you, you can see an increase in the number of homeless growing and exploding and nothing, just a promise, and he brings a cracker box and says that this is the solution to the thousands of people. Well, how many can sleep in there? Oh, it holds four. Well, but we have 4,000 people. I know, I'm working on it. Give me some chance. What do you want me to do, work miracles? You know how the game's played. But anyway, and it's worse than that. But hold on here. Caller, thank you. Go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Cox. How are you?
I'm finer than cheap wine.
Hey, I debated whether to call in. You know, I called in on the last show, and I really think this should be told. That guy censors. That guy, Mr. Burgess, doesn't allow me to speak on his show.
Well, go ahead and speak on mine. Your opportunity. Go ahead and share. Go ahead and share with us. We don't worry about if.
Okay.
I was
making a comparison to the Hawaiian sovereignty movement with. I see parallels in Black America as a people, as a sovereign nation, and I was looking at the concept of sovereignty and colonialism. That's what he was talking about. And I see direct parallels with their struggle and our struggle. And I was explaining to him how freedom is a greater currency than anything else. And a lot of times it's freedom that is not to be transmitted to the next generation. They don't care if you're a billionaire like Oprah or whoever, as long as you don't communicate freedom, they don't care if you're rich. And I gave an example. I said Farrakhan has never been on the Oprah Winfrey show because she's not free enough to have him on her show. She don't have to like him. See, the transmission of freedom, as from culture to from generation to generation, has been stopped. And that's what I was trying to communicate on just the one level, based on the principles of comparative studies. He censors me, man. He doesn't let me even speak on his show. So yeah. I just wanted to say, man, there is a direct parallel between everything going on today, from illegal immigration to immigration to everything dealing with immigration. Black Americans are not immigrants in this country. Number one, we did not our ancestors did not immigrate here. And if they did immigrate here, immigrated here B.C., 2,000 years ago. And I'm just making parallels with, you know, I listen to all these shows, and I love listening to this stuff, but at some point, it seems like we're not allowed to have self-determination. We're not allowed to have a national sovereign identity. And I get this from listening to his show all the time. Anyway, I'd love to hear you comment on this. I want to listen off the air, though, okay?
Okay. Well,
all right, thank you.
And understand, we're not here to criticize anybody else's show, and that what transpires on his show
poker show is quite naturally his own, and I would, out of respect, I don't discuss, because surely we can all find something to talk about on anything. So just being respectful, it's not my place to talk about his show, and I know that he's quite open to many discussions, and so you're welcome to call here, and maybe he's don't want to be disturbed because of the subject matter that he's has going on at that time, and he may feel that it does not fit or complement what he's discussing then. So, but I will say that we as a people, black people, you've heard me say this many occasions, many occasions, that I don't, wasn't as fearful of the Patriot Act, because the Patriot Act was already imposed on black people in America. That's just a fact of life. We were wiretapped and taped and everything that you could think under the sun that was surreptitious, or taping and recordings, or simply just violate your rights. I mean, the open practices of pull you over in the car and immediately in one fluid sentence, you don't mind if I inspect your car, do you? And meantime, he's already in the trunk. You don't have even a chance to say no. And the courts have, many of them occasionally in different districts, have sided with them on, because that's just the way it is. And you don't have the money to contend or fight that issue or fight that challenge, that charge. So, yes, it is. And as it relates to Oprah, she hasn't had Farrakhan on her show, because she just probably didn't want to. No conspiracy. I think we must first understand that it's a right that we have to be so choosy, a choice, or choose who it is that we allow to come on. It's not a censorship, I don't think, that would. And I mean, I've been here for a while. I've been on air now for 9 years and been active in the environmental community for longer than that, and have a TV show. And to this date, I've never been interviewed or invited to come on, I think maybe one rare occasion, for public radio. So you understand, and we can all, and I understand where you're coming from, and it is a reality, and that in some instances. But I wouldn't make that claim with a poker show. I just I know him to be better, and he wouldn't censor, because he loved to hear your ideas, and it makes for good conversation. But anyway, that's basically, that's why, you know, you hear, and historically we've had to have black stations, black BET. They didn't come out because black people wanted to be separate. It was just our way of dealing with being ignored or downplayed or just marginalized, or, you know, have an exemption to our rights or freedom of speech or being able to participate in media. So, you know, it's, and today's trend is that you can look like a millennial and know absolutely nothing, and get a show on TV and radio. But if you're black with a history behind you, they don't want to hear that, because sometimes media now, we've passed the discussion of poker show and what have you, but media, I look at, they, even today, you know, they bring in a sprinkling of an African-American or Chinese person or Asian person or to come in and give the comments, but most of the comments are from that of a perspective of a white Anglo-Saxon male. Or now there's many females in there with the beautiful hair and the nice necklace and the perfect dress and all of that. But I would really trust a stick to tell me the truth. You know, I don't care how you look, as long as you're telling me the truth. Or a porcupine or a skunk could bring me good news. So, but again, when you look out and you see some of the people that are out there presenting the news, it's like, where'd you come from, you know? But it's about image. But we won't get caught up in that.
it's a constant churn, and we learn as we go. And those that lay down on a job, and I heard April Ryan was questioned, asked the other day, she's a news person, that the president suggested that she set a meeting up with the Black Caucus. And she was asked, well, do you think the way Spitzer and the other folks treat you in the media, and the Donald Trump treated you, is because you're black? And she said, well, no, I wouldn't want to go to jump to that conclusion. I would say it was sexist. Well, you know, that's on her, because how can you be obviously black and a female, and then, but when you're asked, do you think it's racism that played a part in you not being treated this way? And she said, no, and it's a reality that people experience racism in today's modern world. But she said, I've taken the high road. You know, when the higher the road is, the farther you fall. So, but anyway, again, it's the way it is. It's always perplexing, and there's a lot to be said, and I would encourage you to continue to listen to KWAI, because though we don't have all the music bells and whistles to go along with, you should have been here later, and you're coming up in the next hour. We don't have that need for that. We just try and tell you the truth and present it without packaging and putting quick, clean smell to it or anything. It is what it is. So anyway, but going back to this mayor, the city, Mayor Caldwell, this is a press release, and you might find this to be quite interesting because it involves you and your tax dollars. For immediate release, Wednesday, March 15th, 2017, Marcus Owens is the person that's publishing this. He's the public relations person that the mayor for the Environmental Services Office. And it says, city no longer accepting household combustibles at landfill. Please make sure you listen to that. I'm going to show you how willing this mayor and his administration will lie to you. Again, city no longer accepting household combustibles at landfill. Now, that means combustible, for those of you who don't know that, if you've been to hell like I've been, then you'll know that it means reference fire, something burning. You know, I've been to hell and back. That's what I mean. So, Kapolei, the city and county of Honolulu will no longer accept the delivery of combustible items from households at the Waimanalo Gulch landfill starting Monday, March 20th, 2017. The delivery of combustible waste from the public, including bulky waste, will be directed to the nearest convenience center in Ewa, Laie, Wahiwa, Waianae, Waimanalo, Waipahu, or transfer stations in Kapa'a, Kawailoa, Ke'ehi, as appropriate. Quote, we feel this new policy will allow us to incinerate all combustible items at H-Power to generate energy while at the same time limiting unnecessary disposal at the landfill. Laurie Kahakina, director of the Department of Environmental Services. This is the same lady that stood and lied to us and said, I think it's 100,000 gallons, but we think that it's the factor that caused it is little old folks running around lifting manhole covers. You know, imagine. Little old lady about 85 years old with slippers on and rollers in her hair out there trying to dump and lifting the manhole cover to let water flood down. And this is a lie she told. But anyway, we've come to learn that that's what we get from an administration such as this. Households may dispose of small quantities of inert materials such as dirt, rock, gravel, concrete, and landfill at the landfill. However, they will be limited to 2 loads per day and a maximum of 4 loads per week. Vehicles will be limited to sedans, pickup trucks, or minivans. All large household vehicles, including those with commercial license plates are hauling large quantities of inert materials of construction and demolition debris and waste will be directed to the private PVT landfill in Nanakuli. Folks, let me tell you, if you go to carolcox.com, you'll find on there posted video of last week's activity where the city, those transfer stations where you're told that you can't take combustibles and drop them off at the landfill, and where they would be buried, instead of being buried, they wanted to be burned, so it would basically save more space in the landfill. Well, we have video for a couple of days straight where every city tractor trailer, we had a blowout here. Every city tractor trailer truck that hauls from the convenience centers were actually dumping the materials, the combustible materials, in the landfill there in Waimanalo Gulch. So why would they lie such a way? And one of the boilers were broken down, but again, you see, they say the boilers would be more efficient and that would take care of everything. But apparently, it's not taking care of everything. So this comes along with, and our city councilman, Ron Manor, seems to be, I'm quite concerned with him, folks. So if you live in Mililani and those areas that's covered, I'm just a little nervous about, it seems that whatever the mayor wants, the deeper he wants to dig in our pockets of the taxpayer property owners, Ron Manor seems to be accommodating, and I'm, you know, I'm really concerned about that. Is it his interest or our interest that he's serving, being Manor? Is he trying to elevate himself so he could run again for senator? Nice guy. But these things, introducing bills such as 29-2017, a bill for an ordinance relating to collection and disposal of resources, refuse, where it will be charging you at the curbside by the cubic yard and more. Caller, thank you for waiting. Go ahead.
Should I stay on topic?
Well, I don't know what topic you tend to... Is that possible?
Yeah, Ron Manor.
Okay.
Okay, but what I like to really wanted to say is I really like that other caller, the one before. My best advice to him is to engage Polka in a conversation. He can't front load and expect Polka to absorb his understandings and then develop them by being a listener. He has to stay an active participant on the call and have a back and forth banter, and he can call back all the time and stay on as long as allowed according to the queue.
And he should listen to you because you got it mastered. Right?
No, I'm come out shotgunning you at the beginning of this show, and that's not the right approach.
Is yeah.
It? Slow down a little bit, have a dialogue, you get the more airtime.
Okay.
Now, about all these lying politicians.
Yeah.
I don't know. They say politics is war by another means. There's not enough bad you can say about politicians, I guess. They're supposed to be leaders. They're supposed to educate us to be able to be prosperous and productive and ruggedly independent. But we got to democratically heavily will tax you to death because we know better. And if it leaves you skin and bones and dead, well, you know, that's just the cost of doing business.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. Well, thank you.
All right. So I guess I can leave it there and let you go on.
All righty. Thank you so much. Bye. So many things to toss and juggle, but that situation with the mayor and Manor and Kimberly Pine, they're politicians. They appear to be politicians with training wheels on them. Wherever the mayor tells them to go, that's where they go. They're not pedaling their bicycles on their own, it seems. And I did also, you remember the, and I don't have it, it was the issue where we were asking earlier have the ethics, the police commission audited. The ethics commission audited. And we saw that, and at the time, Trevor Ozawa was the chairperson of the committee that would schedule that hearing and have that hearing on the bill that was proposing the resolution. And they had a switch in powers there. And the people that suckle up to Kirk Caldwell are in power now. And so Ron Manor received and adopted that, the responsibility. And so we inquired of Ron as to, I wrote him a letter earlier to ask him if he would hold a hearing. And that was resolution 16-164. And on the 16th of this month, it's April now, I wrote, could you please advise the status? What I did initially now, in July 25th of 2016, I wrote to Ron and asked him, Manor, I'm writing to obtain the status of Resolution 16-164, requesting the city auditor to perform a comprehensive management and performance audit of the Honolulu Ethics Commission. It is my understanding that your predecessor and former chair of the Committee on the Executive Matters Legal Affairs Council member, Trevor Zauer, delayed the consideration of Resolution 16-164 in response to a July 2016 letter from the Honorable Victoria Marks, chair of the Honolulu Commission, the Ethics Commission, advising she would be able to attend would not be able to attend the July 5th, 2016 special meeting. As you know, the City Council had a recent change of committee chairpersons, chairmanship, and you are currently the chair of the Committee on Executive Matters and Legal Affairs. I would like to respectfully ask, what is the status of the Resolution 16-164? Are you going to have a special meeting to consider? If you have not scheduled a special meeting, can you please explain why not and advise me if and when you will be holding the meeting? That was to Ron. And I didn't get much back, but we finally got something from him. And let me just... I'm going through my iPad here, just a minute. So I write him back. I hadn't heard anything, and he wrote back. Again, I asked him, what's the status now? Did you schedule this? Are you going to... Hello, Carol. The city auditor is implementing the audit-related work. Very sincerely yours. So I'm sharing with you, the city auditor is implementing the audit-related work. So have we initiated an audit? And I got a right for clarification. But again, the mayor stands to benefit from that not being done, not being conducted, the audit. So a lot of hanky-panky, it just seems that we have here with many of matters and the solid waste issues. And another subject would be very interesting, and I've heard this for the last 3-4 years, and I guess I received an extensive comment just the other day, and this relates to the organizations that you go to, and they have shirts and clothing. And, you know, you can go in and buy. And we did. I get calls from various nonprofits asking for donation of clothing. And now, while these things, I've heard this on several occasions where it involved either Toys for Tots, where the toys were given or donated, and then they found them their way, not Toys for Tots, but organizations serving in that capacity. Some of them have been observed going to the landfill, and it's been reported that many of them would be in their dump. They would be dumping many of these. So I was wondering, what if anybody out there have any more information? But here's a follow-up letter that I have. A person wrote me with and telling me that they work for one of these companies, or one of these stores, and said, what I've seen for the past 2 years is unbelievable. Things go on. I have and can get any inside information that is needed. But if getting an info is has to look coming from the outside. And only one day at the dump, the Kona facility took 8,000 pounds of usable items, clothing and what have you. And I don't understand that. I hope that none of this is true. But the sad part about it is I've heard it from three different sources completely independent of one another. And one of the stores, a man used this to, as most of the donations that go are thrown away, because now most of the sales items on the floor are 30 cents on the dollar from Target. All of the families that happily donate, the less fortunate, don't realize that most of it is thrown away. There is much controversy in new running of this organization. It is no longer affiliated with the church. So this is rather troublesome if these allegations are true. And again, it wasn't this Christmas, it was last Christmas when there was a great donation, and, you know, and I got a call saying that you should get over here to the landfill and see this. Well, we couldn't make it because of we went on island, but many of the clothes, and a lot of the clothing, I'm told, and I've actually spoken to some of these organizations that some of these clothes are shipped out of country and put in the rag business where they make rags and bundle rags and sell them. So they're not destined to, the destination, final destination is not to clothe and shelter or where people can wear the clothes. Apparently, a lot of it is being dumped in the landfill. And that could be because I don't know what would be the justification, but one suggested that maybe they can't afford to ship. The shipping has increased or something. But there are people here that can use it. So there's just a big what if, big question going on there. And a little update on the Big Island. We went over to the Big Island last week, and we're going to be posting up on carolcox.com. In fact, you can see the first installment of the video of a meeting at O'Ocala. It will be on the Carol Cox Show at 1 o'clock on Channel 54 on Olelo. 1 o'clock, Channel 54, Olelo, and then it'll air again on Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m. And that's 1 p.m. also today at Channel 54. What we saw was enough to give rise to great concern. The people are reporting stench water. We reported to you, and we were able to do an actual helicopter flight, and we were able to witness an actual plume. Now, to say what the origin of this plume is would be jumping to a conclusion and saying that it came from the dairy farm. But what we did, we took a flight over the facility, the dairy itself, and to document the large effluent pond. And we saw some interesting things that we're looking for some explanation as to what is really going on. What appears to be a tractor set up with the rigging to suck water out of the pond. These are our assessments from the air, and we're hoping to get answers in the very near future. But it appears the holes that leads into the pond, the effluent pond, leads back to the gulch, or where it is either sprayed or released or maybe put in another pipe. So we don't want to jump to conclusion. But there are some very interesting things going on that the state, and I encourage you to listen and look at these videos. And if you want to hear the most recent meeting, listen to the contents of the most recent meeting, go to carolcox.com, and we're going to post up an audio version of the actual meeting. And in there you'll see some of the comments. And basically, I don't see a bright future as it relates. And as it's all these things that I've said on the show where we say that the state does not have the money, that they do not have the manpower. Well, they actually confirmed that in the public meeting. And just taking excerpts from it, what you'll hear is that the state employee is saying, the inspector is saying, look, we'll rely on you, the public, to see it and maybe to sample it and get it to us, and then we'll be able to get to you back to you in 4 to 6 weeks. Well, we may not get back to you at all. And that's consistent with what I was told with the leachate problem that I talked about on the show here and at K.E. Lagoon. That is what we suspect is causing the high levels of enterococci and E. coli in the lagoon where you saw the regatta that was threatened with cancellation there at the lagoon. So we are, folks, we're playing with some serious and deadly issues as it relates to bacteria and the way the state is able to respond and inspect and abate or stop or prosecute. And another interesting thing is that Scott Enright at this meeting, and you'll hear it on the audio if you care to at carolcox.com, you listen to that, and Scott Enright is saying that we, the state, will take care of this, basically. These are our tenants, and we, the state, agriculture, he didn't say who, the Agricultural Development Corp or the Agricultural Department, will give the state health department money to conduct these inspections and monitoring. And the biggest question that I have is, why did you need to come to a meeting for us to learn that? Why didn't you just tell us and actually do that? Because we're looking at human safety, the welfare of human beings, the environment is of great concern. And if this place is operating in a fashion where cutting corners or not being able to adhere to the rules of the road, how does that play into the handling of the milk that they're producing? What does that say? So that's there's a lot of things there that needs to be addressed, and I think that maybe the mayor, the governor, David Ige, needs to counsel Mr. Scott Enright and make sure that if we're going to have a dairy, that under his watch, it must be run with certainty that we don't pollute and that none of this water gets into the environment and it's contained and managed properly. So what we did was, doing the overflight, I was able to witness and photograph what appears to be a plume off the coast, consistent with what the people that live there that go to pick opihi and spearfish or fish there, they report having a pilau water or stinky water or milky water that's so bad that they no longer go there to collect or forage for opihi or other species that they consume. And so we took the chopper. The pilot was very good. In fact, Paradise Helicopters, if you want to and you need to take a helicopter flight on the Big Island, call the Paradise Helicopters. I've flown quite a bit in my life, and the pilots, their company was quite safe. All I needed was, my concern was just being able to get over the scene so I could get good shots, and they allowed that, and I let the pilot do his flying, and it was absolutely, I was convinced that this was one of the safest trips that I could take, just on the way they run things, and they leave no details. You don't walk through the gate unless you've been trained or given the class and all of that, and very safe. So I was hats off to them. But we were able to lower the chopper down to an elevation that right at the cliffside, and photographing, and you could actually see what appears to be the staining of the cow manure over the couple of years that it's been draining down there, staining the face of the rock, the cliffs, as it the water find its way into the ocean. So this is a reality. This thing we call pollution, and there's ammonia and all of that, nitrogen, nitrates, and E. coli, and do we want that on the loose in the environment? Now, if we're inclined to have dairies, it's not my say to say we should or shouldn't have them. But whatever the decision is, if we do have one, then we cannot rely on the state with no budget to enforce these or regulate or monitor. And if that's the case, then if there are regulations and penalties and all, how do they come into play if you have no regulatory body that's functional enough or viable enough to do this job? So there are a number of things that we've found out about this particular dairy and its operations. They've had a flood. Some of the materials we talked about flooded down into communities. And we witness now, I and others, from helicopter as well as overflight and as well as being there on the ground. And what we witnessed was there's corn growing right now. There's a crop growing. And what we just obtained was a letter, and we don't understand why this. I question Enright's involvement in this, because he states that he advocates for the dairy, and he brought in a veterinarian who had gone up there, which is a city councilman also, with him at this meeting, and the veterinarian represented that, this place is run very clean and it's very good, and I didn't see any problems in my hour and a half of visiting the site. So, if everything was all right, let me share with you a situation here. This is regarding a letter written to the State Hawaii Department of Agriculture on January 23rd, 2017. Grading and drainage violation. You hear that? Grading and drainage violation. Location, portion of Humaula and Okala, North Hilo, Hawaii. Our attention has been called to the grading and drainage issue on the subject property. A search of our records shows there is an active NRCS conservation plan for the subject property that was accepted on 9/12/12. The acceptable NRCS conservation plan is enclosed. However, after checking the NRCS Hamakua Soil and Water Conservation District, we are informed the approved plans were not planned to NRCS standards, with several practices listed that were not being implemented. The manager of the subject property at the time indicated that the plans were understood and would be followed. Because the conservation plans are not up to the NRCS standards, and the farming practices have caused flooding to occur on the O'Okala community, the subject property is not exempt from County of Hawaii regulations as stated in the Hawaii County Code. and I will skip to the numbers. A site inspection was done on January 19, 2017. You are in violation of the following sections. Such operations, erosion and sedimentation control. Such operations do not alter the general localized drainage pattern with respect to abutting properties. Number two, the flow of any existing and known natural underground drainage shall not be impeded or changed so that the cause damage or injury adjoining property. And just getting past all the other stuff, you are directed to cease any further work on the subject property until you meet the practices and NRCS's standards presented by the NRCS Soil Water Conservation. Please speak with NRCS Soil and Water Conservation about this. The Department of Public Works will remove the violation once we receive confirmation that the NRCS conservation plan is up to NRCS standards. Well, now this is a project that Scott Enright publicly stated that he's advocating for, that these are his tenants, and so therefore the state will take responsibility. So how is it, what's so special about this business that would permit the state to adopt and its sister agency comes along just as a witness to cover up? Because, and I say cover up, you notice I use that quite often here, because if you know you don't have the money to regulate and enforce, then you shouldn't be allowing or witnessing activities that you knowingly and know that they are having a negative impact on the health of the people as well as the environment and inconsistent with federal and state law. How can you turn your head, a blind eye to this practice? Thank you, caller. Go ahead with the comments quickly.
Hey, when you were a young man, did you ever see a manure spreader on a farm?
What are you asking?
When you were a young man, did you ever see or hear of a manure spreader on a farm?
I've seen them as an old man, a young man, and a guy that's, they say, full of bull. So,
well, because now we're using chemical fertilizers, but in the past they spread manure on crops to get great fertilization, and sulfur entered the foods, making them more nutritious.
Okay.
So I don't understand why they just don't collect all the manure and spread it on proper farms and have it do its wonders instead of being bullied by Monsanto and the so-called it's cheaper is better chemical fertilizer.
Well, first of all, when you're spreading manure, you have concerns of bacteria contaminating, and we've seen E. coli and then in the guts of cows and what have you. So when you go that route, once again, the issue we speak to is that we need regulatory efforts, a viable regulatory body that enforces and regulate and monitor. If that being the case, albeit, yeah, let it happen. But here we have a system that's broken and representing that it's protecting and monitoring and managing and enforcing when that's not the case. So,
well, this broken system is like, you know, there's no money in forgiveness. So there's more money in screwing up than there is doing things efficiently.
Yeah.
So they'll sell you efficiency and they'll screw everything up, so money goes hands over fists.
All right, well, we'll take you up on this next week because we're down out of time.
All right then, sir. Thank
you. All right. Okay, thank you. So anyway, we hope to submit all this, and the Friends of Maha Ulepu is actually spearheading most of this to try and document and help that community of that Ocala and lend their expertise and their resources to this group. And so you can go to mahaulepu.org and Friends of Maha Ulepu and just look and see what they got going on there. But there's terrible things. Carla, go ahead.
Yeah, Carol, this is ridiculous. Everything with the environment and taxation with no solution for the representatives. And can I ask you, how's Richard doing? Did you hear anything new about his condition?
I haven't had an update. I had intended to go and check on it, but I went away to the outer island. We'll try and find out this week.
Thank you, Rick Clark.
All right, brother. Thank you. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is I like coming on the air here because you talk about things and people say, "Oh, that's just it's not that important." And let me tell you something. When you see a large industrial cow dairy farm, or you see the city operating and dumping its chemicals and waste, or you see the city charging and taxing the taxpayer for ridiculous things of putting trash in the hole and then spending billions to build a burner and then the burner don't work and all of that, I would say you should listen more often. And maybe one day we'll find that be spiritually motivated where we'll say to them, enough of this BS. You're not representing us. You're squandering every good thing that we know about Hawaii, about the welfare of the people here. And we need to call them on it. It's just that plain and simple. Forget the fancy talk. We are being robbed each day that we wake up in the morning and see the sunrise. We have people in our government that they don't even believe it's a government now. It's something that they believe that they have adopted, and it's theirs, not ours. And so maybe we need to change our thoughts and focus on them and call these guys out and vote them out, you know. So we'll talk to you next week. This is the Carol Cox Show, and I enjoyed it. Thank you. We'll be back next week.
Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.